Where are the other nine? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus continues his journey to Jerusalem. And through the gospel writer Luke, we have been walking with him. We need to remember that he is deliberately and consciously going to a place of final confrontation that he already knows in worldly terms. It's a fight he's going to lose from the world's perspective. But he goes nevertheless. Many things happen in the course of this journey ascending up to Jerusalem. And no matter what is going on around him, Jesus stays on message and centered in mission. This week's gospel connects us to last week's gospel, where the disciples said, "Lord, give us more faith." And it also connects us with the gospel the week before that, where we have this wealthy man feasting on a sumptuous meal day in and day out. And the poor person, Lazarus, is at his door, and he ignores him and enjoys his meal. A man possessed of a spirit of ingratitude who lacked grace and generosity to those in want. Now, a little historical backstory. In ancient Israel, if someone had leprosy, they were exiled and pushed to the margins of the community. They were separated from family and friends, employment, village life, and worship. They lived together outside of the parameters of a village or the community, and they depended upon charity for the basics of every day, for food, for water, and for a word of kindness, for connection. It was, to say the least, a harsh existence with little consolation or hope. Lepers, according to the same system, were obligated to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" to anyone who passed by so that they would not come too close and catch the contagion. When Jesus enters the village, they break with the rules and the expected behavior. Jesus comes into the village and something happens, something different happens. They look at him. They do not shout unclean. They cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It is profound understanding for us and a reminder. When Jesus enters a situation, whether it's our homes, our place of business, our city, our church, our hearts, when he walks on our streets and we walk with him, his presence changes everything. Jesus does something unexpected. He doesn't heal them immediately or directly. We have so many stories in the scripture of Jesus laying a hand on, touching, saying a word, and people are healed immediately. This time, he says, "Go to the priests. Go show yourselves to the priests." In other words, he is sending them to Jerusalem, because that's where the priests are. whether or not they realize it in that moment, Jesus is sending them ahead of him to witness to the kingdom of God as a healed group of people. It is saying these are the signs of the kingdom of God. Jesus is also doing something else radically different. He is sending them by sending them up to the priests, by sending them into Jerusalem, into the heart of the city. He is sending them, he's taking them from the margins and putting them right in the center. This is an in-your-face moment. He sends them to the place where worship happens, where authority is, where the community gathers, where the laws and the customs are upheld. And with no sign of healing in that moment, off they went. On the way to Jerusalem, a Samaritan notices he's been healed. Now, as a little sidebar, as many of you would know from the fine preaching that happens here week in and week out, for a Samaritan, Jerusalem is the last place they would want to go because that's not recognized for the Samaritan people. But he goes. And when he realizes he is healed, he turns around. He turns back. He turns back praising God, and he goes to find Jesus. And he prostrates himself at Jesus' feet, and he gives thanks. And the word we have in the scripture for giving thanks is the same word for Eucharist, the great thanksgiving. He is coming and he is making a great thanksgiving. Jesus asked three questions. Were not the 10 made clean? Where are the other 9? Was none found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus seems disappointed, stunned, mystified by the ingratitude of the other 9, whom we will presume are Israelites. An attitude of gratitude comes through the least likely source over and over again. We see it in Luke's gospel. It comes through the Samaritan, the unexpected behavior, the behavior that is expected of Israel. It comes from the one who is considered lowest down on the spiritual food chain from the perspective of the Israelites. And that's where the gratitude manifests. Ignatius of Loyola once said, "The greatest sin is not murder. It is not theft. It is ingratitude. It flows from a spirit of entitlement. I deserve this, that, or the other thing," rather than a spirit of humility and trust. A lack of gratitude can flow from the notion, I earned it, I worked for it, I achieved it. Notice how ingratitude, if self-centric, it is inward focused rather than relationally and outward focused. A lack of gratitude closes us off to the good that God wants for us, even in the most dire and difficult and sometimes desperate situations. It closes us off to possibilities. It closes us off to grace. It closes us off to one another and shuts us down. Ingratitude is content with getting needs met and being happy. Think of that wealthy man and Lazarus. His needs were met and he was happy. It's a spirit that is limited, and the lasting effects tend toward a negativity that supports a downward cycle, not noticeable at first, and maybe only noticeable on the other side of life. A cycle of grief, hurt, pain, loss. A grateful heart and a spirit, on the other hand, is outward and relationally focused, seeking and finding contentment, peace, and joy within a relationship that sustains and seeks to go beyond itself and can stay peaceful even when the needed help doesn't come. It leads to a positive upward cycle of joy and peace that the world cannot touch and cannot give and does not know. A grateful heart is a state of being. Mind and souls do not settle for happiness. It goes for the gracious gold of God's love, from which comes comfort in the cold of the storms of this life and stills the soul. Peace, be still. In an inexplicable peace and joy that often makes no sense to others. So in the course of this week, I am offering you a prayer practice. For those who have never tried a prayer practice of a gratitude prayer, I invite you to consider it, try it on this week. Do a try and buy with it. Over the course of the week, when you try a gratitude prayer, notice as the week progresses what changes or shifts in you. In your feelings, in your emotions, in your relationships to others, and notice any feedback you may get from others. Each morning upon awakening, rather than snarling at the alarm clock, give thanks for it. I know a World War II veteran who was a POW. I asked him one morning, how are you doing? And he said, I got up this morning, I stretched out my arms, they're not touching wood. I'm doing good, thanks be to God. Tell God what you are thankful for as you go about your morning. Around midday, just pause. Think about what has happened in the course of that morning. Give thanks for things, little and large, and ask God to show you, what am I being ungrateful for right now? Like that I missed that train, or I'm late to work, or my boss is having a bad hair day, or I'm having a bad hair day. And just let God flip it for you. Feel the gratitude, because you're having a day. Give thanks for the graces, and when you come to bedtime and evening, whenever that is, take a few moments. Ask the Lord, review the day with me. Help me to notice the grace and the gifts you gave me that I may have missed. Help me to notice where I forgot to say thank you, because God gives you one more chance to say thank you before you close your eyes and drift off to sleep. Let your day resound in a great thanksgiving through different moments of the day, because in so doing, you become the living bread which you consume here as we celebrate the great Thanksgiving. And you allow yourself to be vulnerable and consumed by that bread so that you may be bread for others. Amen.